Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. What did you think of that election last night? I think it was two steps forward, one step back. I can't give it three cheers, but I'll give it a solid two. I think we did well yesterday. I know we had heartbreak in Florida and Georgia and Texas. I'll get into all of that. And I certainly don't like the increase in Republican numbers in the Senate. But the single most important thing that could happen happened last night. The Democrats took the House of Representatives and put it in charge of some people that I know personally and trust implicitly. Madam Speaker Nancy Pelosi, I already love your leadership, and you've had it for just a few hours. And for all those Democrats that attack Nancy Pelosi, well, you don't know her like I do. It's not just that she's really smart. She is a fantastic tactician. She's very good at figuring out exactly how far to go. Not go farther, but definitely go far enough. My friend Jerry Nadler is going to head the Judiciary Committee. I used to sit behind Jerry Nadler when I worked for Barney Frank. Couldn't ask for a man with a greater sense of decency, greater intelligence, tough, smart. Donald Trump's in trouble. It was a weird election night. I found myself being disappointed. Maybe I had my expectations up too high, and I'm now trying to be realistic about it. We had some hard losses in some very red states. Yeah, it was close in Georgia. It was close in Florida and Texas and Tennessee. But those aren't states we need to win. I want to get them back, but they're not states we need to win. You know where we had great successes? In all the place Donald Trump tricked people before. Michigan got a new governor, a Democrat. Pennsylvania got a Democratic governor. Illinois got a trifecta. In fact, I think it's beyond a supermajority of governor and House and Senate and Wisconsin. Scott Walker, I've been mad at you ever since you fired all the teachers in Wisconsin. What, on this, we talked about on this show, I think 8 years ago or so. You're gone. We can reclaim Wisconsin. The Blue Wall, we're rebuilding it again. North Carolina has some tremendous successes. Now the governor will have some power. They won't be able to overturn everything by a two-thirds majority all the time. And gerrymandering? That's on its way out. Look, I am a state legislator. I represent Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax in the Virginia House of Delegates. I'm very proud of Virginia last night. Virginia led the way last year in 2017. We'll talk about that. It led the way this year in 2018. Our state only has 11 members of Congress, and we flipped three of them. It used to be Republicans had 7-4. Now Democrats have 7-4. I don't think any other state could say they've gone that far. We are leading the way again. And all across the nation, some 350-plus legislative seats flipped from Republican to Democrat. That's a lot. Now, since Obama became president, we lost almost 1,000 legislative seats. That means that we're almost a third all the way back. We flipped several chambers, seven of them, actually, all across the country. And listen, states are where laws matter. And governors, wasn't just Wisconsin and Michigan and Illinois. It was places like New Mexico, Nevada, even Kansas. Yes, Kansas, not known for being a liberal state, now has a Democratic governor. And congratulations to another person I know, Jared Polis, the new governor of Colorado, the first openly gay governor ever elected in the United States. pretty impressive stuff. While openly bisexual, Oregon governor, she got reelected. It was mostly a good night. So why aren't I giving three cheers? Because we were this close to greatness. Beto O'Rourke, what can I say? Inspired us. Now, Texas is still a very red state. They do their best to keep blacks from voting, to keep Latinos from voting. Indeed, if Latinos voted in their numbers, Texas would be a blue state. And Ted Cruz is just... slimy. And Beto O'Rourke, a lot of us were talking about him running for president, that he got so close. So close. But it was in Texas. And then the heartbreaks of the evening were Georgia and Florida. I thought Andrew Gillum was going to win. You thought Andrew Gillum was going to win. Honorable, decent, tough, complete change to Florida, our swing state. And running against a guy with no ideas. He's just a Trumpist, a bully. He's like, I'm a bully, vote for me, I'll beat up all the people. I mean, that's what we're running against. We're running against ignorant bullies. He was ahead most of the night. And, well, I guess it's still possible he could win, but he's in real trouble now, and so is the senatorial candidate, Bill Nelson. And in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, what a breath of fresh air. She was running against the umpire of her state's election. Think how hard that is to do. Imagine you're in a baseball game, okay, and the umpire's at the bat. You throw, it looks like a strike, the umpire says it's a ball. You throw right down the middle of the plate, the umpire still says it's a ball. After all, he doesn't want to hit it. And after four balls, the umpire walks to first base. The next person on the umpire's team hits and runs to second, and you tag him in the baseline. He says, nope, you didn't get me. I'm the umpire. It's really easy to win the game when you're the referee in the game, playing the game. But that's exactly what Brian Kemp did, the Secretary of State of Georgia, as he worked feverishly to remove African Americans from the voting rolls in Georgia and set up all kinds of voter suppression techniques, including such simple things as not allowing the voting machines to work for 5 hours in some heavily African American precincts. The voting machines just didn't work at all. They had to go out and get special extension cords. I can go on and on and on about the racism in Georgia. It really hurt to see Stacey Abrams behind, but you know what? She's not giving up. She's going to insist that every vote be counted, and God bless Stacey Abrams for standing up for our democracy against someone who wants really a Soviet system, a totalitarian system, where the person in charge of the system is the same person that's on the ballot. There were some heartbreaks last night. Heidi Heitkamp, Claire McCaskill, Phil Bredesen, Joe Donnelly of Indiana. And there were some victories. We won in Nevada. That was a nice victory in the Senate. And I mentioned all the governors. So maybe I had higher expectations. Maybe I just am too much of an optimist. I just feel like the revulsion I feel in this country has got to be universal. How can someone not see a president who's openly racist, openly hateful, openly contemptuous of the free press, openly encouraging violence, openly breaking the law, violating the Constitution, bragging about it, stealing money, corrupt and lazy to boot? Why isn't there a greater reaction? And, you know, Joseph Goebbels was right, the Nazi propagandist. Some people just aren't willing to believe in the truth. I've long known that you can't dissuade someone with logic from an opinion they don't arrive at by logic, right? Try to tell a religious person about the conception of God. That's not a logical thing. Try even harder to get someone who's following a cult leader not to drink the Kool-Aid. Tell them there's cyanide in it. Tell them it will kill them. They won't believe you. Loving master wouldn't do that. And a third of Americans, 40%, is it 45%, are under the sway of Donald Trump. He's amusing, therefore he must be telling the truth. He's a buffoon, therefore he's one of me. Whatever it is, the cult leader is giving them the Kool-Aid and they're drinking it, heartily, as it tears them up from the inside. But Donald Trump knows he's in trouble. Donald Trump knows he's threatened. Donald Trump knows he's cornered. Because now we have one half of one branch of government, but one that has oversight over him, one that can issue subpoenas, one that can look into all his corruption. And he's trying to intimidate the newly elected Democrats who were elected to contain him. He's trying to intimidate them. Did you hear what he said about Nancy Pelosi, Mark? Let's play the tape.
Now we have a much easier path because the Democrats will come to us with a plan for infrastructure, a plan for health care, a plan for whatever they are looking at, and we'll negotiate. And as you know, it's been very hard in the Senate because we need essentially 10 votes from Democrats, and we don't get those votes because the Democrats do really stick together well. I don't agree with them on a lot of policy, but I agree with them on sticking together. They stick together great. So now we go into the Senate. We don't have the 10 votes. And what happens? It doesn't get passed. Even if it gets out of the House, it doesn't get passed. So under the new concept of what we're doing, I say, come on, let me see what you have. They want to do things. You know, I keep hearing about investigations, fatigue. Like from the time, almost from the time I announced I was going to run, they've been giving us this investigation fatigue. It's been a long time. They got nothing, zero. You know why? Because there is nothing. But they can play that game, but we can play it better. Because we have a thing called the United States Senate. And a lot of very questionable things were done between leaks of classified information and many other elements that should not have taken place. And all you're going to do is end up in back and forth and back and forth, and 2 years is going to go up and we won't have done a thing. I really think, and I really respected what Nancy said last night about bipartisanship and getting together and uniting. She used the word uniting, and she used the bipartisanship statement, which is so important because that's what we should be doing.
Okay, so what the president is saying is, I'll work with you if you promise not to investigate me. We can talk about legislation, but you have to let me break the law. You gotta let me steal what I can. You gotta let me fire people who try to investigate me. You've gotta let me work with foreign powers to commit treason against the United States. You gotta leave me alone. I'm tired of the investigation. I'm sure Richard Nixon was really tired of the Watergate investigation. I'm sure it was just tiring to be asked questions all the time when all you're trying to do is break the law, steal as much as you can, collude with a few foreign powers so that you make billions of dollars on your hotels, corruptly give your family benefits, use the IRS and the FBI to spy on your political opponents, and really, all you're trying to be is Vladimir Putin. I mean, that's all you want. And these Democrats, they take out this thing called the Constitution, and they pretend it has meaning. And they look at it and they're like, wait a minute, no, I'm not gonna let them oversee what I'm doing. Would Vladimir Putin let them oversee what they're doing with the Turkish dictator? My friends, it's gonna get really ugly. I want you to be prepared for it. It may seem like it's getting worse before it gets better. But the oversight at the end of the day is the only way we will keep our country respecting the Constitution of the United States. It's Mark Levine. Call in if you like. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I still got my voting sticker from a very rainy day yesterday in Virginia, where I proudly cast my ballot. And all across the country, people cast their ballots against Donald Trump. The margin is still being counted, but it looks like Democrats beat Republicans by 8% or so. A majority of the nation still rejects a president who doesn't believe in following the Constitution, who doesn't believe in basic norms, who believes on wrestling microphones out of the hands of the press, which he did today, had an aide do, on treats blacks and women horribly, again, the press conference, which I will get to. And just recently we heard fired his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Next in line, well, over the Mueller investigation, it's Rod Rosenstein, who I do think is an honorable man. But the acting director is a young man by the name of Matthew Whitaker, who has publicly mused on how he could stop Mueller by simply starving his investigation of any funds. See, this is why it's vital we have the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives needs to call Matthew Whitaker. Jerry Nadler, you listening? New chair of the Judiciary Committee come January 6th. And God knows I'm worried for the next 2 months what the lame duck Congress is going to do. But when he gets into power, he needs to call up Mr. Whitaker before his committee. And by the way, if he doesn't show up, the sergeant-at-arms of the House should look for him, grab him from his home, and bring him there in handcuffs if necessary. And if he refuses to testify, put the man in jail. We'll talk about how the House of Representatives has the power to exercise oversight. It's really kind of interesting. You see, each of the branches of government, not just the presidency people think of as the person who jails people, federal law, Justice Department, federal prisons, and the like, and that's all true. But the other co-equal branches of government also have law enforcement. The court has marshals that exercise its orders. And Congress also has a sergeant-at-arms. Did you know that if someone refuses to testify before Congress, they can hold them until they do? The majority can hold the person in contempt. And there's even a provision for a jail cell in the basement of the Capitol to hold someone until they speak. There used to be one there. Now, they did some renovations 50 years ago, and they took out the jail cell. But the power to hold is still there. And that's something we could do if Donald Trump continues to say he's going to disobey the rightful subpoenas of the House of Representatives. This is Mark Levine. I'll be right back right after this. Donald Trump wasted no time. The day after the election, he threatened reporters, he threatened Nancy Pelosi, and he fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Now, I'm no fan of Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is a right-wing, terrible person. He has a history of racism and a history of hating immigrants. But he did recuse himself from the investigation into Donald Trump's treason, bribery, corruption, and other high crimes and misdemeanors, and properly so, because he lied to Congress about his collusion with Russia, about his meetings with Russian government officials. And so Rod Rosenstein, Republican but an honorable one, was overseeing the investigation. He's the deputy attorney general. Now that Jeff Sessions is out. CBS News has reported that this guy who's replacing him, the acting attorney general, Matthew Whitaker, the one who talked about how an acting attorney general could simply defund Robert Mueller, take away all his funds in order to end the investigation.
And Mark, I have to jump in. This is Mark Grimaldi, producer. It's also been noted that he said about the Trump Tower meeting, quote, you take that meeting.
Sessions said that?
No, Whitaker, the new interim attorney
Whitaker
general.
Whitaker told?
Winter, in post, after he found out it happened, he said about it, you take that meeting.
He told Trump to take the meeting? Or Trump
Jr.?
No,
he told the press, you take that meeting about the about what Trump's actions were.
You tape, T-A-P-E?
No, you take, T-A-K-E.
What do you mean you take?
Like,
I don't know
you
what
should
means.
Do the meeting. You should go. These people should go. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with the meeting with the Russian
You
government.
Go to the meeting if you can get dirt. You take that meeting. Like, he's saying, do it. You should do it. It's a good thing.
Okay. I'm still not sure I understand what you're saying or my listeners do. But I think what you're saying is that Matthew Whitaker had no problem with meeting, including with the Russians, to get dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Correct. Yes. Right. And he said it publicly.
So this is the guy that is going to temporarily replace the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Now, an acting attorney general is not the same thing as a full attorney general. You are not a full attorney general until you are nominated and confirmed by the Senate. Will he be confirmed by the Senate? Currently, the Republicans control 51 seats. After this election, they're likely to control 54 seats, maybe just 53. They've won. They lost Nevada. They won North Dakota, Indiana, and Missouri. So that's net plus two. That gives them to 53. And if they win Florida, that's 54. If they lose Florida and Arizona, it's down to 52. Either way, Republicans are a majority. They'll be a bigger majority next year. Will they confirm this guy who says he's fine with Trump and his family colluding with Russians to commit treason and espionage against the United States of America in order to win a political campaign? Maybe. I mean, to say no would suggest that Republican senators actually care about their country more than they care about their party. And the last one that did that died a few months ago. Well, I think they'll confirm him. I don't think Republicans care if treason is committed. I mean, they'll sell out all the secrets to the Russians if it helps the Republican Party, right? Now, some Republicans are going to say that's really offensive. But what did this guy say? And I'm just learning about it from my producer, Mark Grimaldi. He said, take the meeting, meet with Russian agents of the Russian government who have committed espionage against the United States. I'm just reading the... Mark's informing me of things as we're going along here. The president is absolutely correct, Whitaker said, after Trump suggested that Mueller investigating his finances would cross a red line. Well, now, wait a minute there. Does anyone remember a guy named Ken Starr? Ken Starr was hired to investigate Whitewater. What was Whitewater? Whitewater was an Arkansas land deal where the Clintons bought into a deal to make some money and lost, like $100,000, lost their money in the deal. And supposedly there's some scandal there. I don't know how you create a scandal where you... I know a scandal where you take money that doesn't belong to you, like Donald Trump defrauding the U.S. government of $500 million or defrauding the people he hired, you know, to put grand pianos in his hotels, not paying them. I understand how stealing is can be corrupt. I'm not sure I understand how losing money and making a bad bet is corrupt. But the Arkansas land deal was the reason why Whitewater happened. And no one was ever indicted. Not a single person. And it went on for years and years and years and years. And finally, Ken Starr found out what he had. He couldn't prove that Bill or Hillary did anything wrong on the land deal, but he heard the president had a consensual relationship with an intern at the White House that was an adult, but consensual, but hey, you know, doesn't look good. And if he could just get the president to lie about it, then he could accuse him of perjury, and that was a high crime and misdemeanor, and no one said that went too far. But Whitaker says that Donald Trump's finances, a guy who has been intimately connected with the Russian mob for decades, and would explain why he works so well in colluding with this enemy of the United States, why he committed treason because he has a close relationship with these people who finance his businesses when Americans wouldn't finance him after he declared bankruptcy, that's not relevant to the Russian investigation? That's a red line. Oh, I understand what you mean by take the meeting, Mark. I now understand. What he's saying is, oh, he'd have no problem. He'd have no problem taking the meeting with a foreign enemy who's committed espionage against their political opponent, who's used spies. And by the way, spies are hanged under U.S. law. Use spies to break in, steal information to help you with your political opponent. The thing that, remember Richard Nixon was impeached for, was not actually, the House Judiciary Committee passed an article of impeachment, not actually because they proved that Nixon even knew about the Watergate break-in to steal from a political opponent, but because he covered up the Watergate break-in. And in this case, they're not just stealing from a political opponent, they're using foreign espionage and treason to do so, and knowingly so. What has become of the Republican Party? A once respectable institution led by Abraham Lincoln, for God's sake, Teddy Roosevelt. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And now the Republican Party shreds the Constitution. The Tea Parties used to march around with it, and now they want to burn it. They're like, treason, it's fine. So the president gives away all our secrets to a man who can nuke us. It's okay. So the president steals $500 million from the U.S. government. Everybody does it. Just don't let a black kid steal a candy bar from a convenience store. We'll shoot to kill him. What has become of the Republican Party that so wants to claim to power? That they're willing to say that the Congress loses its oversight investigation, that the press should no longer be free, it's the enemy of the people. If they confirm this guy, and they probably will, because I have no faith that anyone in the Republican Senate has any morals whatsoever or any love of country, I'm sorry, none. Do you think maybe Lisa Murkowski? I'm not optimistic. If they confirm this guy and he fires Mueller, will Congress do what it did the Nixon era after the Saturday Night Massacre when the President of the United States fired his own special counsel on, let's face it, allegations? The allegations against Nixon were far, far smaller. The allegations against Trump, there's no evidence Nixon even knew about the Watergate break-in before it happened. And there was no foreign power involved. But at that time, when Richard Nixon fired the special prosecutor and the attorney general refused to fire him, the deputy attorney general refused to fire him, only Robert Bork, the solicitor general, would fire him. And the Democrats began articles of impeachment. And then Republicans like Barry Goldwater went to Richard Nixon and said, dude, you better resign or we're going to remove you from office. Those Republicans don't exist anymore. To be a Republican like that, you'd have to have a shred of integrity. You'd have to have an ounce of patriotism. You'd have to believe that your country is greater than yourself. You'd have to be willing to lose power rather than to lose democracy. And that's not this Republican Party. None of them. Well, maybe Lisa Murkowski. Lindsey Graham? Susan Collins? Do any of them have the shred of integrity? Any of them? Any of them? What do you think? I'll get your calls after the break. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So, Democrats took the House. Donald Trump acted quickly, while he still has no oversight, to remove the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, to put in place a toady, a man that basically said, "Hey, I'll obstruct justice with you." Which reminds me, you know what, Matt Whitaker? If you obstruct justice with the president, you can also be put in prison. Keep that in mind. And thank God we got Robert Mueller. We haven't heard a lot about him, mostly because he's been really good at being quiet on the radar. But the former FBI director, appointed by both George Bush and President Obama, a Republican, is known for his integrity. And I'm sure he's thought through. And the best part, the part that makes, that comforts me the most, is I think he can play a better chess game than Donald Trump. Got some callers on the line. Mark on line one from San Francisco. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Doing good. Congratulations on Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Is she your member of Congress?
She is my member of Congress. And, you know, she gets a lot of criticism, but she gets a lot done, and she's a big threat to the Republicans. That's why they want to get rid of her.
I completely agree with you. And to my colleagues on my left who condemn her, I say you haven't seen her in action. I've seen her up close. She's very good at what she does. But I know that's not what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
You know, Mark, the Republican Party sold out to the highest bidder, and I believe a deal was made between Donald Trump and the Republicans. They told him, you can make as much money as you want in there. We'll back you up. Just sign our legislation to give the tax cuts to the rich. And pretty soon they're going to come around. And in this lame duck session, my fear is they're going to cut Social Security and Medicare and just totally, I would say fleece us.
Mark, I don't know if you heard my show, but I remember back, I think it was in August, when the government was going to shut down and they extended it to December 7th. And I said, no! Not December 7th. You want to extend to January 7th? I'm fine with that. But I would have told the Democrats, don't, and I know they wanted to get home and they wanted to campaign. I would have said, no, don't extend it to December 7th because I'm afraid of a lame duck session. January, you know, the Republicans who say, oh, well, no, we can't let Obama appoint a Supreme Court justice without an election. You know what? You can't have the old Congress pass a bunch of bills. You shouldn't. It's wrong. It's undemocratic. And so I'm very nervous about the lame duck session. I admit it.
I am too, and I think Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are on the chopping block. And
I'll tell you, though, unless they end the filibuster, and I don't think they're willing to go that far yet with legislation, they can't do it because the Democrats currently there won't let them in the Senate get past the filibuster.
Well,
so that's our protection, at least until the Democrats take over the House in early January.
But no matter what, we shouldn't be blackmailed by Donald Trump, and we should end this corruption in Washington.
You know, Mark, it's interesting. I was talking on Facebook, and, you know, if I look tired and I had very little sleep last night. I was up at 5 in the morning. I was at the polls all day long. I was up till about 3:30 last night and woke up again 7. So I'm a mess. But I was talking late into the night on Facebook, and I have a friend, a constituent, who's very angry at me. Telling me, because I said we need to subpoena Trump's tax returns. And he said, no, that will just make everybody really mad. And I'm like, so? And he's like, no, that'll look like we're trying to be petty. I'm like, petty? This guy is a criminal. This guy is stealing us blind. It's the role of the House to do oversight. And he said, well, no, we should do legislation. I said, you know what? We can do both. You can have Jerry Nadler issue a subpoena, at the same time put forward legislation protecting pre-existing conditions and doing immigration reform and raising the minimum wage and all these things that I know we Democrats want to do. We have 200-plus members, right? We could split the work up. but don't tell me not to do investigation. And he just strongly disagreed with me. He felt that that I was taking it too far, that all the Trumpists would get mad. And I reminded him, we are the majority. We, the people, are the majority. Donald Trump lost the election in 2016. He lost by 3 million votes. And now that we're going to and I think we're going to ungerrymander the House. I'm really excited about this because of the state legislative races in 2018. We'll get a few more in 2020 because of the new governors. We're going to unpack the map and have a fair House. We are the incipient majority, and we shouldn't be cowed. And one of the best things I liked about your member of Congress, my speaker-elect, my speaker-to-be, Nancy Pelosi, was she made it very clear she wasn't going to be cowed. She was not someone who was going to let Donald Trump dictate her agenda. He would talk fear and immigrants and be afraid, and she made clear that it wasn't going to faze her. And I just wonder, just circling back to her, because I've also argued with people who want new leadership, I wonder if some of the untested Democrats who aren't in the leadership right now would have the finesse of standing up to Donald Trump and at the same time knowing the procedures and the rules, at the same time doing so in a way that isn't seen as obstructionist, but is simply seen as oversight under the Constitution. So I'm a big fan of Nancy Pelosi.
One last thing, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump is basically running our foreign policy on his personal business,
right,
and making money for his family.
Right.
And we can't let this go. We have to get him.
I couldn't agree more. The question in my mind is whether there's enough patriotism, and people get mad at me saying this, but there's enough patriotism on the other side of the aisle that if the president of the United States is committing treason, they're willing to put their country ahead of their president. And I don't know that that's true. I mean, Republicans were very angry at the murder of the Washington Post reporter from Saudi Arabia. They were very angry at it, but not angry enough to tell the president to stand down because he has business interests in Saudi Arabia. There's an Emoluments Clause case going through in, I believe, Maryland about his use of the Trump Hotel. And then there's that New York Times story about how his family stole $500 million from the U.S. government. That could be investigated by the House. I'll tell you, I'm a little jealous. I once ran for Congress 4 years ago. I didn't win. But if I had, I would have fought to be on the Judiciary Committee. And I would have loved to have investigated Donald Trump's finances. I'm a little jealous. I used to work for Barney Frank. He was on Judiciary Committee and Financial Services Committee. And to be in the majority, and I would go through lots of paperwork. And I know Robert Mueller is. I have zero doubt that this guy is corrupt, but you have to prove it. You can't just accuse it. And I think we can do it. And the only question is whether Republicans believe the truth has any value or whether they just want power.
Well,
and
Mark,
I think it's the latter. I hope not, but I think it is.
Mark, I think what's going to happen is the only way the Republicans will turn on Trump is if they see that the whole party's going to go down the tubes because of him. That's the only reason that they would basically turn on him.
You know, I remember at the time of the Access Hollywood tape, and they said that Mike Pence might no longer be his vice president. He was withholding judgment. He never said it was okay until the debate, until Donald Trump did what he does best and, you know, brought out Clinton accusers and tried to change the good whataboutism. And then all Republicans liked him again, and then Pence jumped on board. Republicans follow the leader. I mean, the irony is we Democrats, we fight amongst ourselves all the time. You know, two Democrats have three opinions. Will Rogers famously said, "I'm not a member of any organized party. I'm a Democrat." We are loud. We are rambunctious. We often disagree with each other. But Republicans fall in line. And they follow whatever the leader is. And as long as Republicans are winning races on Trumpism, as long as racism and xenophobia and misogyny sells, as long as looking at brown people 1,000 miles away causes terror in some white woman who is okay with some white terrorist getting an AK-47, we can't convince Republicans to turn on this president. At the end of the day, it is only we the people, we the voters, that can persuade our elected officials when they've gone too far. You'd hope they'd have an ounce of integrity, but we have to put it in them if they don't have it. This is Mark Levine signing off.